Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
All right, now let's start the podcast with Be Better. Be Better is our segment where James and I give you an actionable tip that you can take into your week, and hopefully it can help you be better in work, in your relationship, or just in life in general. So, James, you want to kick it off?
Sure. My Be Better for this week really is approaching things differently. So many times we say we want a different outcome, but the truth is that we can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. So it's time to change. And for me, this is something that I thought of when I looked at my vision board. We did them early in the year. And if you haven't done it, there's still time, because today is the first day of the rest of your life, literally. Do a vision board. Put some things up there, visuals, but also messages. My visual for my vision board this morning was bye-bye business as usual, which is sometimes you have to bring a new attitude to things in order for you to get a different outcome. And that's what I'm going to bring to work and everything I'm doing this week. Exercise, school, all of it. Maybe this is a little bit of me resetting after my accounting final.
Okay.
But I'm bringing a new attitude to everything that's going on this week. And I'll be looking for how the outcome is different based on what the spirit is I bring.
Nice. Okay, well, my Be Better this week kind of came because I was surfing on Instagram and I ended up on Kamala Harris's Instagram page. Kamala is the California Attorney General and she's running for state senator. And I'm scrolling through her Instagram. I literally went back all the way to the very first picture that she posted. And not a stalker, just scrolling. And one thing that I noticed is that she kind of wears the same thing every picture. She has like a gray or black suit with a blouse, and she's always wearing a necklace, and her hair is kind of the same in every picture. And it made me think that I read an article from becomingminimalist.com that I'd read prior. They kind of go into how successful people really do have a uniform. You know, you look at people like Mark Zuckerberg, President Barack Obama, they're usually wearing the same type of thing. So, you know, of course, if she has a big event to go to, she was in a dress. Or if she was like at home with the family, it was more casual. But largely, most of the pictures were kind of the same suit. And I wanted to pull this up as the Be Better because I think it's something that we should all consider doing as we want to be successful. And I just want to point out a few key things that they said. So they were like, successful people wear the same outfit for a few key reasons. One is it's less decision making. It's one less thing to think about, leaving more mental space for productivity. So I think that's really true. The second thing is it's less time wasted. Getting ready in the morning becomes very quick and efficient. You could leave more time for exercise or more time for sleep. If you don't have to think about what you're putting on, then you just get more time in your day. And the third thing that I liked about it is they said you're always put together. Meaning, is your wardrobe like the Cheesecake Factory menu where you have like a whole bunch of options and it's like 20 pages long of options? You know, do you have a wardrobe where things don't always fit right? Things you might not even like, but you just have like a hodgepodge of stuff? Or is your wardrobe like a fine dining restaurant where you have maybe a small amount of choices, but they're all like hits? They're all going to work. You're going to look great in anything that you pick up. So that's another reason to consider like getting a uniform. And whatever, and what I mean by uniform is whatever that means for your job and your life. So for me, it's a business casual environment, but everyone has their own kind of style and requirements for work. So if you can buy more pieces that, you know, are consistent with whatever theme that you're going for, then at the very least, you'll be able to have like a better, more efficient morning. And if you don't decide to necessarily adopt the uniform, it's always great to just have your clothes ironed or dry cleaned and ready to put on in the morning.
Yes, Lord.
So I just take that as a Be Better. We're going into spring, so this is a perfect time to kind of reassess your wardrobe, and maybe we should consider getting some kind of uniform.
Well, I just want to say for the record, You have a great wardrobe and a great uniform.
Me?
I think if you just organize, we might be able to, you know, avoid the whole reassessment and shopping stage.
Oh, no. There will be a reassessment.
I think...
the reassessment's already begun.
Well, I think you
might... Check the credit card.
You might... Oh, gosh. Oh, it's too late. All right. But let everybody else can take that be better. So, from here, we want to move into all things success. And I think you had an interesting one to kick things off with.
Yeah. So, I was reading... I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about how Fidelity is now kind of trying to cater towards millennials in the packages that they're giving them for their starting salaries, or like the total compensation that they'll get as they kind of grow in the company. And what they're doing is they are offering to pay student loans up to $2,000 a year, up to a total of $10,000 total. So this basically means that as an employee, I would still make my minimum payments to my loans, but that they're going to make additional payments to that loan directly. Or actually, they'll make it to me.
I think they'll make it to the loan directly.
Yeah, okay.
So
what do you think about that?
I'd heard about this, and when I heard about it just very loosely, I thought it was a really good idea. And then I read the article, and I saw the limits when it said $2,000 per year and up to $10,000.
Yeah.
If I'm reading this correctly, to get $10,000 from your employer, that means you have to work there 5 years.
Right.
Which for a millennial is like an eternity for most. I have never actually worked anywhere 5 years. I've come very close in one job. And it just doesn't seem like a lot of reward.
Well, you have to think about how much more they save. So say they pay down $2,000 in the principal of a loan, that's $2,000 worth of principal that is not going to have interest applied to it. So that could have a pretty big impact down the line.
That's a big impact, but I guess I'm always looking at what's the company getting out of this? There must be something that's worth way more
than
$2,000 that they're getting
for doing this. So the article basically said that, so it's kind of twofold. One, can they offer you a little bit less in salary because you'll be getting this much?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and additionally, for the company's perspective, if they have to let go of the benefit, people are going to be a lot more understanding of like, okay, well, we're going to be reducing the benefit of paying down the loan, but you get to keep your salary. So like if revenues aren't as good, then they as a company have a little bit of a buffer where they can like pull back money without making people feel like they're being pulled back from money.
So basically they're getting you in the door on like the free cable. Oh, we're going to give you HBO free for 6 months, knowing that...
Well, I think they said, like, if things were to go wrong, like, if the company were to not have enough revenue, then they could start pulling back a benefit like this because your salary would stay the same. But see, my thing is, like, would you think that this is worth it? If someone was going to pay you, if you knew you were getting paid a little bit less, but that you had this benefit, do you think that would be something that would be make or break for you?
Well, this is unique given that I'm currently in school. But I would say that the amount of money that they're offering needs to be higher than that to make it worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm at the stage where I'm unless you're going to pay for all of school, I think I'd rather have the money and make the decision with that money. Because I think as we're all thinking and learning and becoming more parent, is this idea that when you have the money, you have more options and you can choose to invest it, you can choose to pay off your loans, you can do a lot of things.
Right.
Probably the worst thing they could do, though, is not do this, but then give people bonuses, because I've gotten bitten too many times to know that when you get that money, that $2,000 in a bonus could easily turn into, like, what, $1,200 to $1,400?
$1,200, yeah.
So, to anybody listening out there,
don't be fooled by the, quote, bonus.
You want a benefit, or you want a salary. You do not want a bonus as the make good. Well, just know that.
Well, the article closed by saying that about 3% of companies are starting to offer this, or currently offer the perk, and more are going to be offering it because millennials are graduating with a lot more debt, student loan debt, than in the past. So they're finding that this is something that's important to us, and you know, something that they can add as a part of their package to lure us to work for them.
Well, and also, if anybody out there is in HR and you're at a company that does this type of thing, encourage your company to think about incentivizing as you go. So maybe your first year you get 2,000 and your second year you get 3 or something like that. Yeah. Think about putting in a scale that will encourage people to stay.
Yeah,
but this was interesting, and I appreciate companies thinking about employees in a new way. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about with All Things Success is actually an experience I had at City College in New York. So I went to speak to a communications class. I met one of the professors at a PRSA event, Public Relations Society of America. And she invited me to come speak to a class in her department. And it was great because it had been a long time since I'd spoken to students in a college setting. I did it quite a bit when I was in D.C. And one of the things that jumped out at me is you never quite know who the most keyed in student is going to be. I got there and it was actually, as I was coming up, there was a student coming up in the elevator with us late. And the teacher was kind of giving her a hard time about it. But we got to class and it was an engaged group. It's always good when you can keep the attention of students. At the end of it, she came and she spoke to me, said she liked some of the things that I said and that she actually had read about some of the things I was mentioning from marketing and PR in Business Week. And I thought it was great that she was reading it at her age. I think she's about 21. And she said, well, I read it because, one, it's always great to get a sense of what's going on. And she says, to be honest, I always read all of the publications my boss gets. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I like the publication because they cater to a Hispanic audience and some of the stories that they're now telling about markets in the world. And it was great for me to hear that because, it kind of reminded me of something I used to do. When I was an intern, I would always read PR Week and other things, and I'd sneak and read the magazines before I gave them to my boss because I wanted to get a sense of what was going out there in the world. And she's doing the same thing. So this really, it struck me because the passion for this in terms of how you want to read and how you want to learn made me think about this concept of lifelong learning. Mm-hmm. And people say if you want to be successful, one of the common traits among people is that they're a lifelong learner.
Yep.
Like, do you feel like you're that?
I do feel like I'm a lifelong learner. But now I feel like I'm trying to learn things that are very interesting to me as opposed to, you know, school, like just learning about accounting and finance and business. Mm-hmm. Now I find myself, you know, thinking like one of the things that's on my list is I want to learn sign language. So that's something that I consider that to be a part of the lifelong learning trend, but not necessarily going to be tied to my current business skills.
Really? Why do you want to learn sign language?
Always have. No particular reason. But I always have, and this year I'm going to start.
It would be kind of interesting in this country if we, you know, we definitely have some things to step up in terms of learning languages. I should have stuck with French because I got pretty far. But what if sign language became, like, the second language?
We're already going back to hieroglyphics.
How?
Emojis.
Okay, it's not exactly hieroglyphics.
People are describing their whole life through emojis. Okay.
No, you know what I say?
So just, let's be clear. No. We're writing less sentences. And we're going back to just like a semicolon dash parentheses. Now you know I'm happy. Like,
okay. But
I don't want to get you off topic.
Oh, man. You were talking to a communication person about how emojis are like hieroglyphics. And I'm like, I can't. I just can't. All right. I'm going to let it go.
Circle back.
Let it go. So I definitely feel like I'm a lifelong learner, and going to grad school has definitely got me back on the train for sure. So one of the things that also came up when I was thinking about this student and what she was saying was the need to read what leaders are reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not just that she's reading something interesting, but it was something that her boss was going to read, and it was actually helping her have a conversation with her boss. And I think that's something that we all can take away from that and think about. And it reminded me of your Be Better from last week, talking about getting on their schedule two levels up. And this seems like a natural extension. So once you have that meeting set, what are you going to say?
I'll tell you that I've seen this be, I'm actually not very good at this because sometimes I find it's like, I don't want to read, you know, Internal Auditor's magazine when it comes to art or, you know, so sometimes I find that like, I don't necessarily want to read about business stuff because it's like, I'm working in it and I have other things that I'm interested in. So I'd rather spend my time reading that. But I will say that that's not a, like a really, it's not a good thing that I'm doing because I've seen some coworkers in the past who are purposeful about, you know, keeping up with not only our industry, but reading what their bosses are reading. And they just shine in like the networking scenarios or when they go and sit down. I mean, they know like the latest and it makes them look extremely good, I will say.
It's a key thing. And I think for everybody, it's just something to think about. Making sure that as you're learning, you're also learning in such a way that you can further build a relationship with people in your organization that are higher up. because you will naturally be able to have those conversations and people will start to see you in that leader's circle.
Totally agree. Okay, so now for all things inspiration. I think this is the first time that we're actually doing this segment, James. So I'll start with something that I thought was an interesting quote that I kind of want us to think about this week. So the quote that I heard is, you can either be the tire or the road. And basically, this basically means you can, if you're the road, you're someone who gets, who's too passive and people just roll right over you. And I thought, I never had heard this quote before. And I was like, wow, that really gets me thinking. When I'm at work, am I the tire or the road in many situations? When I'm at home, you know, at home in our relationship, am I the tire and the road? When I'm, you know, interacting with my parents, am I the tire or the road? And
answer some of those questions.
Well, I think it depends, because I think that there's like an implied, when you say it, I think it makes you think you never want to be the road. You never want to be considered someone who's real, who's, you know, getting driven over, or someone who's too passive. But if you just take a little bit more time to think about it, I was like, you know what? There are some scenarios where you have to be the tire, where you have to like assert yourself and you have to be the one who's like running everything. And then there's some scenarios where you have to sit back and you just let yourself be the road. So I think like for work, as an auditor, sometimes, you know, we have clients who go out of their way. Like, it's clear that they go out of their way to be the tire in the situation. They want to show that they're dominant, that we don't know what we're doing, and that we can't make them look bad or whatever. Sometimes you get people like that. And in that case, there's just two tires, because we kind of have to meet them where they are. And we have to, you know, sort of assert, hey, we're both here, we're both professionals. But then you think about sometimes when your relationships with your parents, you get to an age or a point in your life where you're like, you know what, like, they can just do what they were going to do or say what they're going to say. I'll sit here and listen. But ultimately, so I'll be the road for this scenario.
Well, I mean, I think so. It's a matter of, there's a little bit of juggling that goes on.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I feel like more times than I want to be, I am, to a certain extent, the road. It's almost, and it's not because somebody's like forced me to be in that position. I feel like I want to be helpful, amicable. Mm-hmm. I want things to work. So it's almost strange sometimes, because when I am the tire, I think it completely catches people off guard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, I'm being the tire because I need for something to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, this is not a time where I can be very accommodating, because I've thought about what I need to have happen and I need it. But when I've seen other people be a tire at work, it was interesting. In one case, it was a senior vice president. We were having a meeting. Now, I have not worked with this person, but I had heard about this person. And the best example I could give is that Meryl Streep character from Devil Wears Prada.
Yep.
Everything this person wants, they get. It's very clear. It was down to somebody saying, oh, she never, ever uses a conference phone. Like, there's a special system, and you always have to use the system. And you're supposed to know you have to use the system, even when you're dialing.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into the room. I was already in there with a VP, a senior account executive, an account executive. Now, mind you, this person is late. They were about 10 minutes late to the meeting. The call had started with another agency partner, and we're talking through the strategy and what's going on. She comes in and just disregards the fact that there's a call on and we're not on mute. And she starts speaking. And she's like, hey guys, sorry I'm late coming in, blah, blah, blah. She goes, she takes a seat, and we're trying to kind of quiet her down so we could hear what's on the phone so we don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, put the phone on mute. We put the phone on mute, and she's just like, have they explained the strategy, what's going on here? And we're like, yeah, but we're trying to catch up. She's like, no, they got to back up. And she's completely taken over the meeting.
Because I'm now here.
Because she's now here.
They need to back up so I can hear it.
So we take the phone off of mute, and she cuts them off and says, hi guys, I'm sorry if you already said this, but I need you to go back and go through the strategy.
So I'm thinking about someone who's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a trait of people who are successful? Not like the only type of people who are successful, but I was watching a documentary on Netflix this week, about the fashion industry, about Bergdorf Goodman, and like one of the women who they highlight in there is kind of the Meryl Streep character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her name was Linda Fargo, and she's highlighted in the movie. And she seems like very nice, but it also seems like that kind of personality where it's like, oh, if I've missed it, you all need to go back.
And you know what?
Is that just indicative of like, hey, if you once you reach a certain level, you do need to go back because I'm actually the important one on the phone here who needs to hear this. So if you've said it, please say it again.
I think it's definitely indicative of people with success because I think these are people who are able to just command attention, and then following attention, they're able to command respect because there was no question. And I, you know, there's times we've all been late to room meetings, whatever the case is. And I think the natural inclination is to catch up with the conversation. And she was like, absolutely not. You need to start at the beginning because I'm now arrived and I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that all come, well, not part of it. All of it comes down to the fact that you need to just be that good.
Yeah.
You have to be so good that people are willing to accommodate you in that way.
Yep.
And then when they do, that's just what it is.
That's just the expectation.
So I think tire and road from a work situation, if you're going to be a tire, better be damn good.
Yep. So what do you think we are? Like, what do you think I am? Just
in
general.
In general?
In general. So like...
You skew tire.
I skew tire.
I think you want to be the tire, and it's frustrating when you meet up with another tire.
Okay.
And I think for me, it's the same as what I said, which is I'm usually the road, but it surprises people. I think even you, when I choose to be a tire, let me know if you agree.
Yeah, give me a little bit of warning.
So I'm just saying that's just,
hey, maybe this is why things work like the yin and the yang, like the tire and the road. And
just know that I have tire like capabilities and tendencies.
But I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, maybe this is a part of the whole opposites attract.
I mean, it's different stuff. I know people who have dated and whatever the case is, and they're both tires. But they just have an understanding of that's who the person is. So they tend to not get that frustrated, or they accept that we're going to go back and forth over a lot of things. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think it's important to just think about how you're approaching the situation and what the dynamics are. Because having not met this person, I wasn't thinking about it, but it was immediate. As soon as she appeared, I knew, okay, that's the tire.
That's the tire, yeah. Cool.
All right. So, for me, all things inspiration, I got this book from your mom mm-hmm. for Christmas, and I had a moment because I was thinking...
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Destiny Daily Readings, and I had a moment because the author is T.D. Jakes. And for those who aren't familiar, he's a super mega church pastor that has a massive worldwide ministry and has written, I think, something like 20-something books, if not more. Does career seminars. If you watch Oprah's Life Class, he's been on 2 or 3 times, I think. So he is inspirational in the way that he tells stories. FYI, don't buy his book Instinct. I think it was a little bit too much of a simile for me to kind of get into that. But this book was interesting because it's daily. It has a scripture at the beginning of it. It tells a bit of a reflection story. But there's a final thought at the end of each daily reading. Mm-hmm. And today, the scripture was from Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5. But I'm going to focus on the reflection, which was, lead me and direct me into the creative zone. I desire to leave behind the comfortable so I can press forward in my destiny. And what inspired me about this is I'm a PR person. I'm a creative person. I'm always trying to come up with something, think about how I can make something better. So I like to play in the creative zone. But this idea of leaving behind the comfortable so that you can press forward to the destiny, that's speaking to me right now. And I feel like there are so many times when we hesitate, when there's change coming and we know it's coming or we're looking for it. We want change, but yet we don't want to be uncomfortable in the change. Like, do you agree? Do you have that feeling sometimes?
Yes.
I have it a lot, but I think I'm getting better and better at being ready to embrace change.
Yeah, I think I've become better with embracing change because I always feel like there's adequate fallback plans. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going after this goal, I'm very much like, oh, what's the worst that could happen? Okay, well, I'm good with that. Even if it doesn't work out, I'm still good with it. So yeah, I think that like I'm becoming better with the notion of change because I'm just realizing like you can, in most cases, you can always go back to where you were. So why not like try the change or be open to the different changes and opportunities? Because if it doesn't work out,
there's a fallback.
Back to square one. You know what I mean? Like, back to square one. Square one wasn't that bad in the first place type of deal.
No, it's cool. This kind of reminds me of a book I read a few years ago. It's called The Startup of You. It was written by Ben Kenosha, one of the co-founders of LinkedIn. And he talked about life planning as like an A plan, a B plan, and a Z plan. Mm-hmm. So he's like, A plan, that's your main thing. B is something you can pivot to easily. And Z is the fallback.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have that, that's cool. But what got me about this really and truly is that if you're thinking about your destiny, where you're going, what your purpose is, all of these things, you have to know at a certain level that it's not for you to be exactly right where you are, unless you know for sure you are. I mean, I feel like we're all kind of forward moving, even if you're in the right city and the right job or the right stage in your relationship, just know that you're growing and that there's going to be change a part of that. So if you start to feel uncomfortable in it, just know that that's kind of a good thing. It means that you're moving closer to where you're supposed to end up.
Yeah, totally would agree.
That was
I think Oprah said something to that effect as I mean, I'm probably not the only person to say that, but I think Oprah has said something to that effect too. Like, when you start to feel uneasy, then you know, like, you're not in the right place and that you have to kind of make a change. So as soon as you kind of get that, like, fidgety feeling, like, ooh, I don't think that this is right, like, don't ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
And just know, okay, you need to start making some changes, getting to the root of, like, why you feel like this, and being comfortable pressing forward.
It's so key. I mean, it really, just trust your gut and know that you're going in a good direction. You just have to listen and make good choices as you go. So last up for me is all things relationship. A few different people over the last couple of weeks have mentioned the idea of long distance relationships.
Been there, done that.
For a period.
Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
Okay.
Seven months and 2 days.
So been there, done that.
But there are varying levels of long distance relationships. So there's some people, like, so our case, it was a finite period of time. Other people, this is their job. They travel and they're gone most times of the week in other cases.
Which we have that too.
Somewhat.
So for a little bit of context, when we dated, we met in January, and then by August, you found out that you were going to have to leave the country for work.
Yeah.
So we had been dating for like 7 months, and it wasn't new, but it was definitely like...
It was new.
Yeah, okay, so it was a new relationship, and you were leaving. And I think we both, and maybe it was just, I don't think it was just me, but you can correct me now if you want. But I think we both were at a crossroads where it was like, okay... You were telling me, like, okay, well, I'm going to be going out of the country for work. And there was a moment where somebody had to say, okay, well, I want to stay together during this time.
And I don't know that we ever did. I think we just
did. Yes, we did.
Did we say that?
Oh, or
did
James, we? Yes.
Okay, I thought this was the part where I was supposed to correct you.
I know this. No, well, I know specifically when, because we were out in the backyard.
Yes, and we said the words, oh, we should stay together.
Yes, you said it to me.
Oh, how convenient.
You said it to me, and I remember, because I was like, okay, I'm very happy that he feels the same way that I did. I was waiting for you to say something like that, and you did.
That's not how I remember it.
Okay, well, we'll never know.
Oh, okay. So. Moving right along. See, notice that whole road situation?
So, you had to go away for 6 months. We saw each other for like a week in the middle of that. But basically, that was our, like, long-term, or long-distance relationship stint. And we got through that by a lot of phone calls and a lot of Skype calls. And then now, with my work, I travel, if we kind of look at the year as a whole, I'm probably on the road 45 to 50% of the weeks.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, probably 40% of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely doable. But I was speaking with someone who, she currently lives in Atlanta, and she's thinking about moving to New York. And the way she said it, you know, if I were to use the exact quote, it was almost like, the seed has been planted, the tree has grown, and it's starting to bear fruit. This idea that I want to move from New York. And I was like, I didn't ask the question because I didn't want to get too far into personal stuff about, you know, she has family. And I was like, is your husband down for the move? Because you sound like you're going to be here probably in the next 3 to 6 months. You're going to make a move happen. And she says, oh, no, he'll never move. And I said, well, how are you going to work this out?
Right.
And just for greater context, like, you know, she's older, he's older. their kids are older, probably getting to the graduating high school stage.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't have to think about family in that younger sense of, you know, both people need to be there all the time. But at the same time, she was very adamant about how adamant he was about not moving to New York.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm coming. And she says, well, you know, we've been married for about 10 years, and I feel like our relationship is secure enough that we can make that work.
For the rest of their life?
I don't know, but all I have to tell you is...
or, like, for while she's in the program.
My face is usually pretty expressive. You probably know when I'm surprised, when I'm angry, whatever. I think I did a decent job of holding my face when she just said, I think our relationship is secure enough to make it work. Because here you are saying somebody doesn't want to move, and you want to move. Not like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm looking for a job and I have a situation. You want your life to be in New York.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Is she talking about a finite period of time where she's like, look, I want to be in New York for 2 years. I just want to get the New York experience. So I think my relationship can last. Or is she like, I want to leave this place.
I want to leave this place. Because what she told me was she used to live in New York years ago. And this was before she met her husband. And she said she really had a good vibe and the spirit. And she left for different opportunities, different reasons. And she said she's now at the point where she hates it when she lands in Atlanta every time she goes back. And she's happy to see her husband and her family. But her spirit, she says she feels like is really going with her now that she's back in New York occasionally.
So I think that she needs to really have a heart-to-heart with her husband about this. Because you don't want to be miserable. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if she's finding that, like, getting off the plane in Atlanta makes me sick to my stomach, the only good thing here are my two kids and my husband, but everything else here is rotten. It's like, okay, you can't ignore that feeling, you know, that you hate where you live and you have the means to live somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So she really needs to have a heart-to-heart with her husband, and they need to figure something out. Because I don't know if I would... like it if I'm living somewhere that you hate, and you would not like that for me either.
No.
So like in the nature of I love you, we're in this together, this is marriage, all the different cliches, I would think we would have to figure out something. I don't know if the answer is okay, let's pick up our life and move to New York in a month. I don't know if that's the answer, but I would definitely think that he should be open to really figuring out something that works for her, and that she should tell him for real, like, I am not good here, and try to get him to understand that.
Yeah, they've got to figure out something, and I wonder how much she's told him at this point. I think they've got to figure out something. It was a little scary to kind of hear it say, because it sounded as if, like, well, if he's not coming, I'm coming. Because I just need to do this.
And that's really dangerous, I feel like, for the relationship. Again, and when you say, when she says, I just need to do this, is this temporary? Because if I say, you know what, James, I've never traveled by myself internationally. I just need to do this. I just need to do this for myself, for my life, like for my own sanity. Okay, you could be accommodating because it's a short-term thing and blah, blah, blah.
I need to travel by myself internationally. I mean, are you saying you want to go on a European summer? Or are you saying that you want to quit your job and travel around the world and do things for the next 2 years? Even that is different.
It's long, yeah.
It's a long time, even if you come back. So her thought was, well, you know, we've had situations in the past where for work, somebody needed to travel all of the working days. So pretty much gone 100% of the time and you're back on weekends. And I don't think, and maybe this is me reading more into it than what it is, but the thing, the idea of being gone for work was not what was bothering me about the situation or making me think it needed to be discussed. It was the idea that this was in her soul. Like, she was just like, I have to do this. I got to figure out a way to do this. He's not coming, and I just have to. That whole idea of regardless of what he thinks or is willing to do, I just need to do this for myself. To me, this was a life thing. It wasn't about circumstances. It wasn't about work. It wasn't about whatever. Mm-hmm. So when the core of your happiness...
And that's why he needs to take it seriously.
Yeah, that's the part where I was just like, okay, so eventually this will kind of eat you out from the inside. Like, you're not...
And he should not want that. He should not want that for her. And I think the only way that she'll get him on board is to make him understand that, like, this is much more than me simply saying, like, I have a preference. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I just feel like it's in my soul that we should move to China. It's there. I my spirit was so great when I was in Beijing before. Like, I really feel like we should just do that. What do you think?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Who are you moving with?
Oh, really?
No, I'm not moving to China.
Oh, to so live. You're just not.
I'm not moving to China
for
to
2 years.
I'm not moving to China to live
for 2 years.
So.
Okay. We'll revisit.
Yeah, that exactly. I was going to say you'll have to revisit. You'll have to make a very strong case. Right. Hey, there's some conditions, right? Like, okay. Hey, let's never say never.
Right.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to All These Things Podcast. We'll go ahead and wrap up the show here. Please follow us on Facebook at All These Things Podcast and email us at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.